Well, hello, friends. Mark DiMatteo coming at you once again with a brand new message going out to our Great Questions group on this 18th day of June 2014. This is actually message number 36. The title is Considering Space, Part 1. Okay, Considering Space, Part 1. And as always, I'm excited about getting into the message. But before we begin, I need to touch on three quick important items as sort of an introduction here. First of all, I want to say welcome to the new folks that I've connected with since our last audio that have joined our group. Our group continues to grow, and I am pleased to have you with us. So welcome. Okay, next. Last month, I sent out a little low-key fundraising appeal to those of you that have been a part of the group for a while now and have been touched and encouraged by the Great Questions group. And I asked you to consider making just a quarterly donation of $25 to help support it. And I actually suggested this month of June as a beginning month. So I'm sending along just a little reminder encouraging you to do so if you are moved to do so. If you can do more, great. I know many of you can, many of you have, but even just $25 would be a big help. And as a reminder, if you bank online, probably the easiest way to make a donation right now is through an online bill pay service. It's kind of what I do. And the address of our nonprofit, Mark of Matthew, Inc., is at the bottom of this email and also on my website, which is markdimatteo.com. And thanks for continuing to help support this work and help it grow. Number three, and finally, as an important reminder, these messages are a chronologically ordered series, and as such, they build upon each other. The earlier audios create a foundation and bring context and clarity to those that follow. Therefore, if you have not already heard them, consider doing so. Your Great Questions journey with us will be far more pleasurable and profitable to you if you do, and they are all also posted on my website. They're all free. Check them out as often as you'd like. And that's at Mark DeMatteo, MarkDeMatteo.com. Okay? Well, all right then, let's get rolling. And as always, like I said, I'm amped about getting into this. And folks, in this message, we are going to begin to take a brief look at the first of the two remaining components that are fundamental to the cosmos. For as we've already discussed, since we do live in a space-mass-time reality, I knew that the origin and continued existence of all three parts had to be accounted for if I was going to gain any kind of an accurate understanding of where I came from, which is, of course, one of the great questions, okay? So since we have already discussed some of the compelling conclusions my study of the mass component had brought me to, let us now turn our attention to the next part, space, and begin exploring this second foundational building block which encompasses the whole of our present reality. And as we do, I will also share some of the observations I made along the way, particularly in light of my good old examination framework. And speaking of which, as an FYI, beginning in this message, I have a new abbreviation for examination framework that I'm going to start using, which is X-Frame. I thought that term was kind of cool, and it's far simpler and shorter than saying examination framework each time, which is a little bit of a mouthful. So from now on, when you hear X-Frame, think examination framework, okay? And furthermore, with this same theme in mind, let me also just reiterate here once again one of the key objectives of my studies, which was simplicity. For the aspects of space and time are a little more abstract and intangible than the mass or matter component, and through the course of my studies, I have been exposed to some very complicated theoretical explanations of both. However, I prefer to continue to focus my attention on the simple objective facts we do know about these two topics and see what I might learn from them. So, let us commence our examination of space. To begin with, what exactly is space? Well, let's consider a simple definition. Quote, space is the continuous area or expanse within which all things exist and move, and which is defined by the three dimensions of length, width, and height. This is pretty straightforward and familiar, right? Space is essentially the three-dimensional reality where everything is. You and I live, quote, in space. We exist in it. In fact, it is interesting to note that we don't just live in space, we literally require it to survive. For since we are physical beings that actually, quote, take up or occupy a certain amount of space, we could not continue to survive without any space to exist in. And isn't that kind of interesting when you think about it? Now, furthermore, our perception of space can be said to be relative, for we usually quantify what is, quote, normal size space based on the amount taken up by ourselves and our usual surroundings. However, it is interesting to note just how large and just how small portions of space actually can be. For as we've already learned, the degree of space atoms exist in is amazingly minute. And yet space surely exists in far smaller dimensions than even this. In fact, there is seemingly no limit to just how small a portion of space there can be. This is also compelling to reflect on. Additionally, there also seems to be virtually no limit as to how large a quantity of space there can be either, especially when attempting to grasp the length and width and height of the overall universe. Personally, I find this both extraordinary and fascinating, particularly in light of my long-time interest in outer space and space travel. So gang, let's take just a few moments and have a little fun as we stretch our brains trying to grasp just how large a piece of space this present cosmos actually exists in. First, let's take a look at our solar system. I am sure most of us know that we inhabit a system that consists of one star, our sun, and nine planets: Mercury, Venus, then Earth, followed by Mars, the asteroid belt next, then Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, and finally Pluto. And as an interesting little aside for a moment, I know that you astronomers out there are probably aware that Pluto was recently reclassified as a minor planet not too many years ago. However, more recently, there seems to be indication that it may actually, quote, regain its status as a major planet. Regardless, it is still there and still called Pluto, and for the purpose of this discussion, is normally the farthest known planetary object orbiting the sun, and therefore defines the primary outer boundary of the solar system. So, measuring from this boundary, our solar system occupies a fairly large amount of space, as it is almost 7.5 billion miles in diameter. To gain some perspective on just how far that is, the space probe Voyager 2, or the Voyager 2 space probe, many of you remember that, launched back in 1977, traveling at an average speed of 35,000 miles an hour, took 12 years, or actually until 1989, just to travel the 4.4 billion mile arc required to reach Neptune. Okay? Can you imagine traveling at 35,000 miles an hour nonstop for 12 years? And yet, once you go beyond the limits of our solar system and into the realm of deep space, the distances become so great that astronomers no longer use miles to measure it. Instead, they have come up with what they call a light year, which, simply put, is the distance that light travels in an entire year, 365 and one quarter days. Now, folks, as many of you know, light travels at an incredible speed. Actually, 186,000 miles per second. Folks, that's the equivalent, you ready for this, of over 670 million miles per hour. How's that for moving down the trail, huh? Can you imagine traveling that fast and then doing so nonstop for an entire year? If you did, you would cover approximately 6 trillion miles of space. That is 6 followed by 12 zeros. Another way of thinking of it is by taking a million miles and multiplying it 6 million times. And that's just one light year. To get some concept of just how far that is, our entire solar system is only about 1/1,000th of a light year in diameter. Therefore, it would take the Voyager spacecraft, traveling at the same 35,000 mile an hour speed, approximately 20,000 years to travel just one light year. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's just, that blows my mind, folks. Now, with this in mind, considering that the nearest stars to us, the three that are in the Alpha Centauri system, are over 4 light years away. And folks, they're the closest. To help us get an idea of just how far away even the nearest star is to us, imagine shrinking our own star, the Sun, down to the size of the dot on the eye of standard 14-point text. Okay, you with me on that? The dot on the eye of 14-point text. That's, we're shrinking our Sun down to that size. And remember that our Sun, though just an average-sized star, is still over 860,000 miles in diameter. So large, in fact, that it could easily hold a million planets the size of the Earth inside it. Okay? But if we were somehow able to shrink it down to the size of that dot, at this scale, the nearest star would be another dot located 10 miles away. You with me? That's pretty astounding, but folks, we're just getting started. I think most of us realize that we also inhabit a galaxy known as the Milky Way. Folks, the Milky Way is a vast, swirling cosmic ocean of perhaps as many as 300 billion stars. Just our galaxy alone has an estimated diameter of 100,000 light years. Folks, that's the same as taking a million miles and multiplying it times a million and then multiplying that number by 600,000. Folks, this is truly mind-boggling. In order to gain, again, some type of perspective on just how large these numbers are and how vast even just our own galaxy truly is, let me share with you the coffee cup analogy, okay? Imagine taking our entire solar system, which as you remember is 7.5 billion miles across, and shrinking it down in size to the point where the pathways of the 9 planets would fit into an area the size of a coffee cup. Are you with me? Okay. Then imagine shrinking our entire galaxy down to the same degree. Folks, what is quite astounding is to consider that even in the context of this dramatically reduced scale, the Milky Way would still be so large that it would engulf the entire North American continent. Did you get that, gang? Okay. Think of the size of the top of one coffee cup compared to an area greater than all of the U.S., including Alaska, Mexico, and Canada, out beyond the seaboards of all those countries, the entire North American continent, beyond it all. I mean, isn't that something? And yet, as large as our own galaxy is, it is but a mere speck when compared to the dimensions of the inconceivably grand vastness of the entire cosmos. For instance, the nearest galaxy to ours is one called Andromeda. Andromeda is also a spiral galaxy similar to the Milky Way, but it is twice its size and contains an estimated 1 trillion stars. Folks, Andromeda is more than 2.5 million light years away. Isn't it incredible to think that even this closest galaxy to ours is still so far away that even light, traveling nonstop at 186,000 miles a second, would still take over 2.5 million years to reach it? Yet as staggering as these enormous distances are, friends, the overall dimensions of this universe are far greater. For let us consider for a moment that astronomers now estimate that there could possibly be as many as 500 billion galaxies which exist within our cosmos, most of which contain hundreds of billions of stars. Indeed, taking all these immense numbers into account, it is now estimated that there are perhaps as many as 10 stars in the universe for every grain of sand on all the beaches of all the world. Wow. So then, just how large is this immense three-dimensional area we call space? Well, at this scale, we literally have to move on to measuring in terms of billions of light years. And whenever I do, I always try to pause and reflect to somehow try to grasp even just a slight understanding of how large these numbers truly are. Folks, even just 1 billion light years is 400 times greater than the distance between the Milky Way and Andromeda. I remember not too long ago when the distance to the edge of the known universe was estimated to be 10 billion light years away. That put the overall diameter of the cosmos at 20 billion light years, which is 8,000 times the distance to Andromeda. But as our ability to probe the depths of space continue to increase, so have the estimates of its overall size. I remember it growing to 30 and then to 40 billion light years, literally twice what it had been thought to be before. And yet now it is believed to be far larger still. In fact, the current estimated edge of the observable universe is about 46 to 47 billion light years away. Folks, that puts the overall diameter of the visible universe at an astounding 93 billion light years, which is almost 5 times larger than it was estimated to be previously. And gang, that is over 37,000 times farther than the distance to Andromeda. Folks, these are truly staggeringly large numbers, virtually unimaginable in terms of our everyday experiences. And yet, how can we be sure that even these numbers are accurate? For who really knows just how large space truly is? In fact, as we begin to wrap up this message, I have another definition that I want to share with you that sort of bears this out. Quote, space is the unlimited or the incalculably great three-dimensional realm or expanse in which all material objects are located and all events occur, end quote. And folks, as I contemplated the reality of just how vast space seems to be, there were two primary themes that began running through my mind that I wanted to explore. First, I knew I was being confronted once again with yet another, quote, unlimited or incalculably great, unquote, effect, which had to be accounted for. Therefore, I was eager to apply my trusty X-frame to it to see what conclusions it would lead me to regarding the origin and continued existence of this second universal cosmic component. Next, being confronted by such extraordinary extremes of relative size began stirring within me a variety of compelling thoughts. Ones not only of additional paradox, but also of present confinement, limitation, isolation, and further inadequacy. And yet my mind also began to open up to the possibility of even greater, potentially enhanced realities in regard to the function of space as well, and I was eager to explore them. So folks, in our next message, we will begin by applying our X-frame to this effect called space and see what it might be telling us about the origin and continued existence of cosmic component number 2. Okay? So until then, this is Marcus D signing off and wishing you all a wonder-filled day. Okay? Take care, folks. Bye-bye now.